Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back to another edition of our Beyond the X's and O's segment right here at eradiosports.com. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and it is always a true pleasure when we have the opportunity to catch up with the Dallas Mavericks head coach, Rick Carlisle. And Rick, it has been fast, it's been furious, winners of five out of your last six games, and I'm going to assume that you really embraced this four-day intermission and the opportunity to refine some things to practice before the second half of the season.
Yeah, we need the time. We have things to get better at both sides of the ball. This is a rare opportunity during the season to get some rest, and yet you have to work on the things you need to work on. The temptation always is in coaching to add things because you have time, but the reality is you have to hone in on your competitiveness, your efficiency with the ball, and your execution of the simple things, and that's what we're doing.
It really has this season, as you step back and look at it. It's been survival of the fittest, quite a narrative and storyline to say the least. Rick, you guys got off to that hot 4-1 start, and then it just seemed like you had to deal with a compilation of a number of issues, from missing your marquee player in Dirk to 15 different starting rotations and 9 overtimes. But the good news is right now it's all coming together and you're trending in the right direction.
We are trending in the right direction for sure, and that's a very positive thing on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, we got to be careful not to look at that and just take it for granted. You know, every game that we have coming up here, and, you know, we have San Antonio coming up this Friday, and they're a top team. They're a top five team in the league. We've lost two games to them, and they both, you know, they've been, neither game has been as competitive as it should have been. And so, you know, we got something to prove when we play those guys. And if we aspire to be a playoff team, this cannot simply be about just wanting to get to the playoffs and be happy with that. We want to be playing at a level where we can get to the playoffs and have an opportunity to win. And so every game's critical. We've been digging out of a hole here for a while. The hole is still there. It's a little shallower than it was, which is good. But, you know, we have good guys, and things have turned a little bit, but we got to be careful that, you know, we don't look at that and say, hey, we've got it figured out. You never have it figured out.
Right, and we're going to preview the San Antonio game here in just a moment. But, Rick, you've been the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks for 5 years. You've been a player and a coach in this league for many years. And as you step back, I mean, what is the anatomy of making a comeback when you go through those lulls and those dark periods? I mean, you're a winner. You're accustomed to winning. How do you muscle through that?
Well, it starts with belief. And, I go back to about 10 days ago, or whenever it was, we were in Sacramento. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So time is, as you say, is flying by. We had a morning breakfast meeting. We were on a back-to-back. We had come from the Clipper game the previous night. We had played well, had a lead in the fourth, couldn't finish, couldn't close. You know, it was a similar refrain to some of our problems leading up to that point. And, you know, we got together in the morning, and I put it on the board. You know, we were 2-13 or 3-13 in our last 15 games or whatever it was. And I just said, hey, guys, you know, it's been a murderous schedule, all that kind of stuff, but we're better than this. And, you know, I said, take a look at this. And I drew up, you know, the eighth team and then the rest of the group below. And at that point, we were 7 games out of the playoffs. And so we had, at that point, played quite a few more road games than home. We were on the mend in terms of our health. Dirk was doing better and better. And we had just come through a murderous part of our schedule. So I said, look, if you look at these factors, okay, 7 games is a lot. It's not insurmountable. But it's got to start with, you know, a belief that we can do it, and here's why we can. And so I pointed out those things, and I said, but it's got to start tonight. And I told him, there's a good chance tonight's going to be an overtime game, because these things tend to come in waves. And at that point, we had, I think we'd had, we were 0-7 or whatever it was in overtimes, and that's rough. And sure enough, it was an overtime game. We had to go deep in the bench to win that one. And that win kind of got us going a little bit. Then we came home, we won three at home before we dropped the one to Oklahoma City in another overtime game. And, then a good win in Orlando. So now we have this period, and we have really a championship caliber team coming in here in San Antonio. And we've got to continue to keep this thing moving the right way.
Rick, you point out the Sacramento game, but I think back, I flipped the calendar to the month of December, and at the one-third through the season when you guys were getting ready to face Memphis, you had talked about the fact that you didn't have your starting five solidified, and at that point of the season, you didn't have five guys that had started and that had played a total of 55 minutes on the floor. What is it like now that you have solidified that starting lineup, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys? Now they know what to anticipate. That's got to give you as a player a sense of comfort knowing when coach is going to call on you.
It helps, and being able to get some similarity from game to game, I think, is something that's good for the players on the one hand, and yet we don't want our guys to get too comfortable. We want there to be a certain kind of good edge tension to our situation, because that's always going to bring out the best in you. The whole thing with all the different lineups, I mean, that's fodder for excuses, you know, if you look at that stuff. And that was another reason that I pointed out to the guys that I felt we had an opportunity to begin our climb out of the big hole. And, certainly that was a factor. And I think where we are now, we're in better position. But as I said, the work goes on. It's we have nothing figured out. And if the second we ever feel like we do, you know, we're going to get hit in the face again.
Well, I know as a coach that you're never satisfied, but is there one particular game, 5 out of the last 6 games I talked about, you guys have won, that you really point to that perhaps the potential of this team and what you guys might be able to accomplish? I think of the game against Minnesota, the fact that you guys scored 113 points, only had 9 turnovers. I mean, you're one of those offensive juggernauts in the Western Conference, too. You can put up some points.
We can, and our turnovers have been better in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And the guys have worked hard at that. You know, the biggest thing for us is defense and rebounding, because when we have problems rebounding the ball, we're giving the opponent extra opportunities to score, and we're removing opportunities for ourselves to go the other way in transition, which is the best part of our game. We're a top 3 team in the league in fast break points. We're up there in pace, we want to keep the game moving, and I like our depth. So, you know, Minnesota, we played well. I thought we played well against Memphis, even though they were kind of fried coming off a back-to-back. Houston, we've had 2 tough games with them, but we've won them both. Those are big games, and that's a team we've got to beat out if we're going to make it. And then Oklahoma City is just, that was one that we had a real opportunity and just couldn't get it done. So. And then after that, the game in Orlando is a huge win for us. I mean, that's a team that's a capable team. They've played pretty well at home, and, that one could have gone either way. So, we are where we are. We are what our record is. And at this point, with 40 games left, there's a lot, I think, to be excited about on the one hand. But, our optimism is cautious to the point that, we know we've got to keep an edge. We know that we've got to continue to focus on the rebounding, and we got to keep our turnovers down.
Where are the breakdowns coming in with rebounding? You don't have a big bruising center on the inside. Is it just a matter of you guys staying that much more disciplined, getting a body on somebody and pushing them out of the lane?
Well, a lot of nights the teams we line up with are more athletic than us. At times they're bigger and more athletic. But when you're on defense, you should be between your man and the basket. And so in those situations, we just got to be more vigilant about checking out and then going and pursuing the ball. And, unlike other years where we had guys like Jason Kidd, who was, one of the greatest rebounders ever at the point guard position, he'd scoop up 5 or 6 And some nights you get 10. You know, we've got smaller guys at the point position, and getting those guys to get in there and be more aggressive has been a key too. And when we get 4, 5, 6 rebounds at our point guard position, we almost always out-rebound the other team. So doing it from all positions with an awareness is really important.
What I hear you saying too is that growth will consistently take place when you apply truth, whether it's, you know, personally, professionally, with your team. And I heard you say in a compelling interview with Chris Webber that your father told you that always have faith in the power of the truth. What is the truth about this team in terms of the intangibles and the heart that it has shown and the inner fortitude?
Well, you know, we've hung in. The challenge, really, in my mind, has been to bring a group of guys together, you know, and really unite them in a cause. And these are guys that that hadn't played together. You know, there's 8 or 9 new guys, so that's a lot. And so, you know, we're still working on that. But my feeling is that the team building aspect of this is, you know, if there's a pie chart, you know, and you got percentages of importance, I mean, the team building aspect of it is at least a third or a half. I mean, just getting the guys, you know, bringing them together, having them bring themselves together, going through hard times is a part of it. That's part of the growth when you go through tough stuff, and we've been through our share, and we've just got to now. You know, we've got to stick together, and we got to keep fighting.
How much of a value do you place on players when you are scouting them and determining if they are going to be a part of your system? Because I had a chance to catch up with your general manager, Donnie Nelson, and he said, yeah, we've had our Dennis Rodman type moments, but you guys want high character guys that when you face those fracturing experiences, that they're going to come together. They're not going to peel apart.
Yeah, it's really important. And there's a great saying I saw recently. I think my mom gave me a little thing. She's always giving me stuff with quotations, and it said something to the effect of adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. And so, you know, what we found this year is that that there is truth to that. But on the other side of it, you know, going through tough times when you're with a pro sports team, it's got to build. It's got to build togetherness because you've been through tough stuff. But you have to have enough success to build the belief. And at this point, you know, with winning 5 of 6, those are good signs. Our practices have been good the last couple of days. We got one more tomorrow before the game on Friday. So, you know, we've got some good things going, and my job is to make sure that we keep them going.
Well, one of the things I appreciate about you is after you guys won the world championship in 2011, you said, it's not about what you can't do, but it's about what you can do and what you can accomplish as a team. And the acronym TEAM, together each achieves more, and just coming together and having that positive mindset.
Yeah, look, if you want to sit down with any NBA roster and go through and nitpick the things the guys can't do, yeah, you can come up with a pretty good laundry list on just about every guy, even the stars. And so it's really important, and because this gets very challenging. These games are hard to win. I mean, you're going up against talented players. If you're on the road, you're in aggressive, loud buildings. You have great coaching. I mean, there's a lot going on, and so you've always got to view the pieces to your puzzle, each individual guy. What can that guy do? What can he do to the best of his ability, you know, to help our formula for winning? And it's something I learned a long time ago, you know, from some of the great coaches I worked with, Bill Fitch, Chuck Daly, guys like that. And it's really important, especially when you're going through tough times, to remind the guys, hey, here's the things we do well. Here's the things you do well. Do these things. Be aggressive with these things. You'll help yourself. You'll help us.
We only have time to highlight a couple of players, and one of the young men that I do want to highlight is De'Aaron Collison. He arrives early, he stays late. You see him out on the floor with Coach Armstrong, and just spending time, you know, working on his, you know, attack angle, getting to, you know, keeping his dribble low, you know, refining his free throw shot, and he just has that hunger and that continual thirst to take his game to the next level.
He's gotten better and better, and you know, we are in the process of trying to develop him into a guy that can be a starting point guard on a good NBA team. Now, he had not done that to this point. He started with New Orleans. They were a lottery team. Then he was basically a backup in Indiana, and they were a playoff team. When he came here, we had some struggles early on, and he had some struggles early on. We brought in Derek Fisher because we didn't feel like it was fair to Darren to put him in this position, to have to be the leader of the team at the point guard position. And then, Fish was here for a while, then he was not here. And so now Darren's back in that driver's seat, and he's grown a lot during that period of time. When Fisher was here, he learned a lot from Fisher, even though it was a three-week period, about, discipline, approach, the importance of the defensive end, all those kinds of things. And so now Darren's got a great opportunity, with this club, and he did a great job in the Orlando game the other night of, being ready and stepping in and knocking down a big three at a really important time of the game. And, there are going to be more and more of those moments and opportunities, and he'll be ready.
Yeah, we can see how his confidence has really grown, as you talked about, late in that game against Orlando, hitting that three, but also against Oklahoma City to send it into overtime. So you see how he's standing up on the inside. He's getting that confidence. Now, we got to talk about one of our contemporaries, Elton Brand, one of the veterans, the older guys on the team.
Wow, I don't know how he feel about being called one of our contemporaries. Maybe yours.
well, he is coming on very strong in 2013. His offensive game has really come alive. But what I appreciate about him is that he seems to be in the right spot at the right time, and he's making big defensive plays, and that block against Harden against Houston was huge.
Yeah. He's, I can't tell you the kind of respect I have for a guy like him and what he's been through in his career. I mean, he's been one of those guys that is he's a hardened veteran. He's been through a lot. He's a multiple All-Star. He's been through a torn Achilles. He's been through some tough times in Philadelphia, issues about conditioning and weight and all these kinds of things. And now, we really wanted him, out of Amnesty. And we were able to get him, for a price that we couldn't believe we got him at. And after some struggles early shooting the ball, his game has really come around. And the thing that I love about him most, he's all about winning. That's all he ever talks about. He's been a perennial starter in this league, and yet in our situation, he's been more than fine with doing anything asked of him, on a game-to-game basis to try to help the team win. And so, he's a guy that you just, when you watch him day to day and how he approaches it, you have this kind of heightened level of respect for him.
You were talking about earlier the Sacramento game, and I remember specifically when that game was winding down, I saw Elton, going up and down the bench, giving the guys high fives, trying to provide that encouragement, and that leadership, you can't put a price tag on.
No, he's been in the league 13 years, 14 years, whatever it is. He's been in it a long time. And, for our guys, and we have a lot of younger guys on the team this year, and we have some kind of medium-age guys, Collison and Mayo are both 25. I mean, but they're younger guys, but they've been in it 4 or 5 years now. But when a guy like Elton gets engaged like that, it's very meaningful, and the more of that stuff we can get, the better.
Let's take time to preview the San Antonio game on Friday night. They are prolific from three-point range. I mean, they hit 23-pointers earlier this year. And, when you break down the game tape and you really start trying to figure out where are these threes coming from, they're coming from transition, from dribble penetration, post penetration, and then for the kickout. Talk about the defensive challenge that you have.
Well, the whole thing starts with Parker and, his ability in transition to break it down. Anytime he can get to the rim, he's going to get to the rim, and he's a great finisher. When you take away the rim and he gets lane penetration, that's when teams suck in and then they get the threes. And they have great three-point shooters all around. I mean, the guys standing in the corners are always ready to fire it. They got guys like Bonner coming off the bench. It's just that's the beginning of it. Now, Tim Duncan is having a great year. He's averaging 17 and 10, and he's really been a monstrosity in the post this year, which they haven't had him doing a lot of the last couple of years. And he just he has got an energy to him this year that he hasn't had the last couple of years. So they really have it going. Ginobili, who has been out for some games with a hamstring, I don't know if he'll be back for our game or not. But, with those three guys, Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, I mean, that's real star power, and they're all playmakers. So it starts with those guys, and then the problems that those guys cause create a lot of the threes. So the game is about defensively getting back, taking away penetration, all right, and being able to guard them so that the penetration threes aren't there and the penetrations to the rim aren't there. And it's a hard proposition. That's why they're one of the best teams in the league.
You will face a high volume of pick and roll, so verbal communication is going to be very key, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they run, if you count them, I mean, they run anywhere from 65 to 80 pick and rolls per game. And a lot of times they'll run two or three in the same possession. And those are extremely difficult to guard with guys like Parker and Ginobili who, you know, understand the nuance of changing the angle. They can split, you know, they can do all those things. So it's real challenging. But again, right now we need these challenges. We need to rise to them. We need to win games. And so, you know, we're looking forward to that challenge. And, you know, this period before the All-Star break is really big for us.
Rick, how much has the game changed since you were a player? It seemed like it was just about defending inside the paint or guarding your guy on the wing. But now, I mean, we're talking about you're having to defend so many different pick and rolls.
Well, back when I played, very few teams even ran pick and roll. And, back in those days, you know, I played with Larry Bird and Paris and McHale. They would set a few per game, maybe three or four or five at the most. And that was considered a high volume. Since then, and, you know, Detroit started this when Chuck Daly was there and he had Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars and Vinnie Johnson and Lambeer, who was a great outside shooter as a big. They started running those high pick and rolls where Vinnie would come off, and if you guarded him with two guys, Lambeer would pop and he would make those shots. And, you know, Detroit was the team that probably revolutionized the game from a pick and roll standpoint. Since then, you know, the game's changed even more because now the defensive rules are such that you can have two guys guarding a ball, a guy that does not have the ball. And back in those days, there were grids on the court, and so everybody kind of had to be within a certain distance of their man. That's not true now. You can play zone now. The only rule is you can't be in the lane for more than 3 seconds defensively without being in a guarding position and touching a man, you know. So the geometry of the game has changed. Now it's not as easy to come down and isolate every time in the post because you can really crowd and load up on a guy. Movement into random pick and rolls is where the game has really gotten hard to guard. Everybody is doing more of it. The teams that have the better playmakers are going to have an advantage. And so the game has gotten a lot better to watch over this period of 10 years since these rules have been in. The ball goes up and down the court more. There's less holding of the ball. And there's more movement to penetration. And we're seeing a lot more threes. And so that's kind of where the game is at. Now, where it goes from here, you know, I'm not exactly sure. What's kind of happening is big guys are getting a little phased out of the game, which is a bit of an oddity. So I think in the future, you're going to see more big guys that have the ability to shoot the ball to mid-range and even long range. Guys like Dirk, guys like Chris Kaman, Brand can shoot it out to 18, 19 feet. And, you know, in San Antonio, they got Duncan who can shoot it out to 19. They got guys like Bonner that can stretch it out. Those guys are going to be extremely valuable.
It's nice to have that type of versatility. And as we get ready to wrap up our interview, you played for Rick Pitino for a year at New York. And one of the things that he always does, I'm a big Pitino disciple, I follow him, that he would always read to all of his players. The book is titled The Precious Present by Spencer Johnson. And I'm not sure if he ever read this to you, but compliments of the Big E Sports Show.
Wow.
And as you look ahead to these next, 40 games or so, you got to stay in the present.
Well, that's tremendous. I really appreciate that. And when you go through losing streaks, what happens is people give you a lot of books. I recently got Jim O'Brien, one of my assistants, gave me Norman Vincent Peale's book of his favorite quotes. Uh-huh. And the favorite quote that I got out of that was by a guy named Anatole France, who said, "I prefer the folly of enthusiasm to the indifference of wisdom." And that's what our season has been about. It's been tough. It's been trying times. It's been, you know, the tough losses piled up, but we got to maintain our enthusiasm, and we will.
Well, I know as a proud parent, too, it's always good to have some little extra reading material for your young daughter, too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Listen, blessings to you the remainder of the way, and good luck.
Likewise. Thank you.
Be sure and join us at eRadioSports.com for more exclusive interviews.